Amen. 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 To worship you, I live. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Let me open this up. God is so, so good. Can you count the ways? You can try, but how good is he that we could even try? He's given us things to even say, oh, he did that, he did that, he is this, he is that. God is so good. Amen. Right now he is good, and he will be good forever. Amen. Amen. Well, I have the honor and the privilege of sharing the message today, a word from the Lord, which I'm so grateful and honored to do. I thank Father for the prayers that went forth this morning, the scripture that was read this morning. Whatever he did in power hour this morning, I thank him for that because he has plan and he has an order with everything that he does. So I know that this is a word that he wants spoken today. So I thank him for that. So if you'd like, you can be seated. If you want to stand, go for it. Amen. But today the Lord wants me to talk about heavenly perspective. And I wanted to prepare a completely different message. I wanted to talk about worship and, you know, this is what music is like and this and that. But the Lord wanted me to talk about heavenly perspective. And so I know that it's from the Lord because he's been speaking this word to me. He's been showing this word to me. He's been developing this word in me, and weird things that don't usually happen started to attack me as I was preparing for this word. So I know that it's a word from the Lord, and I know that it's a word that's despised by the kingdom of darkness because it goes completely against the enemy's agenda for your life. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us breath in our lungs to worship you, to honor you, to glorify you, God. To give you all of us, Lord, and for us to accept all of you, Father. I thank you, Father, for giving us a heavenly perspective today and for having your way. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Okay, so what is a heavenly perspective? So Jesus shows us this perspective throughout the Bible, and I'll be sharing quite a few verses. But I want to start by highlighting two that are in John, and that's John 5, 19 through 20, and John 6, 38. In John 5, 19 through 20, Jesus told his disciples, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For the things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." And in John 6:38, Jesus says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Perspective is the way that you look at a thing. It's a point of view. And the way you view a thing often determines your reaction or your response to it. Here's an example. So there were these two little boys, not my sons, but two boys who were running around this farm, and they started to smell something funny, okay? And so they followed the smell, and then they found a barn, and then they walk into the barn, and they open up the door, and they notice this big pile of manure, some poop there. And the first boy says, "Ew, that's gross, I'm getting out of here," and he just runs off. And the second boy says, "Whoa, there must be a pony around here somewhere." So you see the difference? Two different perspectives. So Jesus has a heavenly perspective, a relationship with his Father, a blessed assurance. He has faith. He has trust. Jesus was sent to this world, yet he didn't view this world as his own. He didn't conform himself to this world or operate by the standards of this world. He didn't try to blend in like the world wants us to blend in. In fact, he set at variance light and dark, which means he set apart and he separated light from the darkness, which he's been doing from the beginning, from when he created the world, in the beginning of time. So your perspective determines your position. When Jesus walked this earth with his heavenly perspective, he didn't fall into temptations, as we may fall into temptations. It didn't matter what temptation the enemy sent or what situation God allowed, Jesus never swayed from his position, which is why even though the Bible says that Jesus was tempted, he never fell because he wasn't inclined to fall. He never leaned towards the enemy's camp. He never turned away from the will of God. Jesus has a heavenly perspective, and it's the right perspective. It's the perfect perspective. It is the only perspective that God wants us to have, and that perspective is to do the will of the Father. But how do we do the will of the Father? Because the same battle of temptation that came against Jesus is also the battle that we face today. The battle between our own will and the will of the Father. Our own desires and the desires of the Father. Our own feelings and the character of the Father. And our own flesh and the Spirit of God. Galatians 5, 17 through 26 says this, starting with 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now next, starting in verse 19, the Lord is going to show us the things of the flesh and what battles against the Spirit. So starting in 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, and I love that the kids are studying the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So one thing to note here, before I continue those verses, is that the flesh produces sinful action, but the Spirit produces a heavenly perspective. The Spirit produces the will of God. And so here's the kicker in verse 24. It says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. You are called to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Your eyes are meant to see from heaven's perspective, not your own. I don't care how good you look at a thing, not your own. Your heart is meant to feel from heaven's perspective and not your own. Your mind is meant to think through heaven's perspective and not your own. Your reactions and your responses to what happens to you are meant to reflect heaven's perspective and not your own, because the perspective that you choose, it will influence your worship, which will affect your posture to God, which will then affect your glorification of God, which will then affect your position with God. So the reason I believe that God wants this word shared today is because there may be areas in your life. I know the Lord has been searching me. Last Sunday, the pastor, when he preached, he said, just pray the prayer. Let the Lord search you, right? And we do that, but it's different when you come with that genuine heart. Sometimes you think you're coming genuine and you're not, but when you do, oh, he will search and he will reveal. So I believe that there's areas in maybe your life where you're lacking a heavenly perspective, or you used to have one, but spiritual warfare and trials, they've discouraged or they've hindered your faith. Because there's many of us who have given our lives to the Lord, but in some ways we haven't taken his life as our own. So 1 Corinthians 16:19 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So if your life is still your own, then that means your spiritual vision, your hearing, and your understanding will be impaired. When someone's judgment is impaired, then it causes chaos, damage, unnecessary pain, bondage, and sin, and completely avoidable circumstances. So in 2016, my dad was in the hospital. I was recording the vocals for my first album, a few cities away, when I received a phone call from my mom telling me to leave the session and head home. She said that Shane was waiting for me at the house to take me to the hospital. She didn't give me many details at the time. She probably didn't want me to freak out. But I left the session right away, and I headed home. So Shane then drove us to the hospital. And on the way to the hospital, I remember him saying a few times, it isn't his time. And he said it a few times. I know that because he's very obedient to the Lord. But I couldn't focus on that. So when we got to the hospital, we gathered around my dad, and he shared the news that the doctor said that he wouldn't make it through the night. According to doctors and everyone, that was just the fact. And we said our tearful goodbyes, and Shane and I left the room just to give my dad and my mom a little space together. And so my mom walked us out of the room to say bye, but then Shane stayed back. And Shane stayed in the room, and he prayed for my dad. And he told my dad, this is not your time. You are not going to die. And he prayed for him. That was it. It was like a couple minutes. Wasn't long. He was obedient to that. And now this was despite what the doctors were saying. Everything that we were feeling, it went against what we were literally seeing happen before our eyes. As real as this phone looks in front of my eyes, that's how real it seemed. This was the complete opposite of anything I was feeling, because I was feeling fear, anxiety, shock, confusion, anger, grief, all those things, everything, name it, all at the same time. And in 2016, I knew the Lord. I had a relationship with Jesus. I was born again in the Spirit of God. But all I could see was my circumstance and what was happening in the earthly realm, what I could see with my eyes, because a fleshly perspective consumed me. I remember when we left the hospital, I was getting so angry with Shane because he was hungry, so we went to go get tacos. And he was eating these tacos like he didn't have a care in the world. And I'm going through every emotion known to man. I like threw my ketchup across the table. I think I threw a taco. I ran to the other room, and all he did was just eat the rest of my tacos. He was so calm, cool, and collected. But Shane had a heavenly perspective. In the world, that can look rude. That can look insensitive. No, it's a heavenly perspective. And because of that, Shane heard and saw in the Spirit. He saw and heard what the Holy Spirit was doing, and he walked in line with the Holy Spirit. Because in the Spirit, your sight is different, and your hearing is different. Shane said he heard the Holy Spirit say that it wasn't my dad's time to die, and though his heart was hurting for my dad, for me, the whole entire situation, he never swayed from that heavenly perspective. He walked and responded, not based on his own will and his flesh, but by what the Father in heaven spoke and showed him. This is what Jesus did. It's exactly how Jesus lived and exactly how he calls us to live. I gave my life to Christ, but I didn't fully accept his life, his thoughts, his responses as my own. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't grieve. It doesn't mean that we can't feel, because we do. We just bring them to the Lord. But we're called to be like Jesus. So that means we're called to look at things from God's perspective and not our own. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So Shane heard from the Lord because he closed his ears to his own voice. He closed his ears to the voice of the enemy. And he even closed his ears to the voice of the doctors who didn't have that heavenly perspective because they were only looking at physical circumstances. So when we worry, when we allow anxiety to take over, when we live in fear, when we respond to situations out of fear, then our hearts are compromised. Our faith is compromised. And if we're not careful to identify this and repent from it and change it, then we can end up having the perspective of the unholy Trinity. Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I is what Galatians 5 was talking about. It's a natural perspective. It's human. It's fleshly. It's sinful. And it focuses on personal and emotional gratification instead of gratifying Jesus. It focuses on our desired outcome, whether, like I said, whether that is good or bad, no matter what we think it should be, versus the will of God. It leans on your own knowledge instead of trusting the wisdom of God. It coddles your emotions instead of accepting God's truth, almost to say that your opinion on how a situation should turn out is greater than God's plan. And that's the same perspective that Lucifer had in heaven when he didn't like his circumstances. He began to think that his ways were higher than God's ways and his desires were better than God's plan. But Lucifer was casted down. So we too have to cast down all imaginations that come against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, and urges us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, many don't know peace because their eyes, minds, and hearts are fixed on the wrong things. And that changes our view of the right things. Hebrews 12:2 tells us to look onto Jesus. It says, looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author. He's the one who writes your story, every detail. And Jesus is the finisher. He's the one who knows how your story ends. So your perspective on anything and everything should never come from anywhere else except your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit speaks, that's how your perspective is shaped. You won't hear him if, one, you don't have a relationship with him, and two, you're still holding on to your own will. So how do we stay in a heavenly perspective? How do we pursue the Father's will and not our own? Number one, get in relationship with Jesus. This might sound simple, but many are deceived. You can't have a heavenly perspective unless you have a relationship with Jesus, because you can't do it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit of God. Relationship is intimate communion. So if you don't know Jesus, anyone in the room who may not know Jesus, anyone who's watching online who may not know Jesus, God wants you to get to know him, because you can't do this life on your own. And that's why it's been so hard for you. That's why you can't let go of certain habits. It's why your mind is being tormented. Jesus has a life for you that's beyond anything you could ever imagine. So you don't need to raise your hand. You just need to surrender your heart and ask Jesus for forgiveness of your sins and to come into your heart and save you. And for those of you who have known Jesus for a long time, get closer to him. There's so much more that the Lord wants to reveal to you. He speaks through his word, but he also speaks directly to you. So don't just rely on Sundays and the Bible studies you hear when you hear the word of the Lord or what your pastor's telling you on Sunday. He wants to speak directly to you, even when you walk out of this building and get in your car and you're sitting there by yourself before you turn the music on. He wants to speak directly to you. Pray without ceasing. When you leave today's service, don't just kick up your feet and take a break from this Jesus thing. There's no breaks. The only rest you get is resting in him. So give him your every breath, because he's the one who gave your every breath to you. Our God, the one and only true God, the living God, the almighty God, is a God of relationship. And he wants a relationship with you so much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on a cross for you. And he rose from the dead for you. He defeated sin and death for you to give you new life. He made a way for you to surrender your life and become a new creation in him. So that leads us to number two. Surrender your whole life to Christ. Your whole life. Give God all. All. Not just what we think is bad. Not just, okay, God, I did this sin. I'm going to give that to you, but I think I'm good in this area. No. Give God all. From the breakfast you eat in the morning, to the movies you choose to watch after work, to your hidden shame, to the people that he's asking you to talk to when you don't feel like talking to anybody. That's a real thing. The heavenly perspective gives God all. Not some, not a portion, but all. And that's what Jesus did. And if you're not giving God your all, then that means you're giving something or someone else some of you. And whether or not you want to admit that the other one you're giving it to is the enemy, your admittance doesn't change the truth. The Bible says that you're either of your Father in heaven or of your father, the devil. The Bible also says that one cannot serve two masters. You either serve God or you serve the devil. The prophet Elijah, I love him, when he was in the midst of a bunch of people who were worshiping idols and who actually thought that their idol could have any bit of power or effect over God, Elijah sarcastically said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If it be Baal, then follow him." And in Matthew 12, 25, Jesus says that every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And desolation is a state of emptiness and destruction. So if you've been feeling any kind of emptiness in any area, big, small, doesn't matter, or any destruction in your heart and in your life, then God wants to revive those empty and desolate places. He wants to bring light, and he wants to bring life. But you have to surrender those places to Christ. Ask God to reveal them, and he will. Crucify your own desires and destroy all avenues that may try to keep you in the flesh and not in the spirit. And one way to do this, which is number three, is fasting and prayer. That'll destroy the flesh quick. Quicker than you could ask the Lord to destroy it. All right, so after my dad came home from the hospital in 2016, a few years went by. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. A few years went by, and his health slowly began declining again. Sometime in 2022, shortly before I started to visit 3Ps, the Holy Spirit led me to fast and pray. I wasn't sure what for, but I was obedient, and I fasted. And towards the end of my fast, my dad went into cardiac arrest. A few days later, my fast ended, and on the last day of my fast, my dad died. I was in the parking lot of the hospital. At the time, my mom was in the room with him, and my mom called and said, "Your dad's gone." We hung up the phone. Shane saw my face immediately. He ran to me, and he held me, and I just cried. And in his embrace, something so interesting happened. In his embrace, Jesus literally wrapped his arms around me. And when I left Shane's chest, I can't explain the peace that I experienced. Nothing that I've ever felt surpassed all understanding. I mean, like, beyond. And sometimes I talk to the Lord, and I'm like, "God, you know, I'm logical. I'm smart." But this surpassed everything, okay? And my flesh was battling against me saying, "Your dad died. Your best friend just died. Your business partner died. What are you going to do?" Oh, you better be sad. If you don't cry, then you must not care. Aren't you going to curl in a ball of sorrow? Why did this have to happen? Last time God healed him. But I was quickened in the spirit with peace beyond my understanding, and I gained a heavenly perspective. And that heavenly perspective was, my dad wasn't dead. He's very much alive. He was just continuing his life in heaven. That's something really, really cool that we get to do. Believers in Christ, we don't die. We continue living. That's awesome. So my heavenly perspective, he was opening that up. So last time God did heal him, but guess what? This time God healed him too. So would I prefer to have my dad here with me today? Of course. Yes, I would absolutely love that. We could tag team preach, tag team sing. We could do a lot of things. It would be fantastic. But if given the choice to have him back right now, per my own desire, or not have him back because that's God's will, I would choose God's will. Fasting will quicken your spirit, man, and help you deal with things in a way that the world cannot comprehend. Cannot. Yes, I grieve. And even to this day, I still grieve. But I grieve in Christ, not through my flesh. The Lord renewed my mind. Which brings me to the last point, number 4. To fulfill the will of the Father, to do the will of the Father, to have a heavenly perspective, we must renew our mind. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." That's a 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing and promise on your life. When you're not walking in the spirit and not living in a heavenly perspective, then your flesh causes you to conform to the world. So we have to renew our minds. The word conformed means to behave according to usual standards, to comply with prevailing standards or attitudes or practices of this world, to be or become similar in form, nature, or character, and to be in harmony or accord. It's interesting how we're meant to be in one accord with the Lord, but conforming to the world makes us in one accord with the world. You were not created to be in harmony or accord with this world. You were not created to become similar in form, in nature, or character of this world. You were not created to comply with standards or attitudes or even practices of this world. You weren't created to behave according to the world's usual standards. You're different because you're a peculiar people. And he desires the best for you. And that's a spirit-filled life. And that doesn't come without trials, because when we believe, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The word says wanting nothing. A heavenly perspective wants nothing but the will of the Father, to see earth as it is in heaven, to worship as the elders, creatures, and beasts worship God in Revelation 4, focused on the one that sat on the throne, that sits on the throne, and nothing else. Casting their crowns to Jesus instead of giving Jesus the crown and asking him to polish it. We have to seek God's face and not just his hand, and worship as Jesus did, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Heavenly perspective. So if you're able, may you please stand. willing and able. Over the past few weeks and months, the Lord has been speaking a message to this church. And for those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, he's been taking you deeper. He's been purifying worship. He's been healing. He's been transforming. He's been renewing our minds. And he's been calling for repentance. And I pray that we're all yielding to his graceful and merciful call. And the Lord gave Pastor Kermit a prophetic word at the beginning of the year for this church. And when the Lord speaks prophetically, that just means he loves you and he's speaking truth into your life to fulfill his will for your life. So whether that be encouragement or a rebuke or a warning, prophetic words give direction. And that direction always leads us closer to Jesus. And that word that Pastor Kermit has been speaking over all of us and over this church is alive. Alive in 2025. So can you do me a favor and say this with me? Alive,
alive.
In 2025.
2025.
Alive,
alive
in 2025.
2025.
Now, why 2025? I don't know. But I do know that 2025 is now. So that means God wants to do something new inside of you now, this year. And he wants to revive you this year and quicken you in the spirit and to experience this revival that God wants to do in your life for you and for those around you. We have to make a decision that our lives are not our own. Starting today. Today is the first day of the rest of your life, and your life is not your own. Alive means that you have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. So I just want to pray for you and speak life over you and praise God for his goodness and his mercy and his grace. Father God, we thank you, Lord. I thank you for each one of your sons here, each one of your daughters here, Father. I thank you for your will, Lord. I thank you for the plan that you have in each of their lives, Lord. I thank you, Father, for you having your way in their hearts and in their minds, God. I thank you for right now, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, just flooding our hearts and flooding our minds and giving us a heavenly perspective in everything that we do, Father, so that we may follow you in every single way, Lord, and that we take on your life, Father, as our own, Father, for it's you who live inside of us, God. So we're going to do what you say to do. We're going to say what you tell us to say, Father. We're going to think what you want us to think, Lord. We're going to go where you want us to go, Father. We're going to pray how you want us to pray, Father. We're going to ask what you want us to ask for, Father. We're going to completely yield ourselves to you, Lord, because you are worthy and you deserve it, and it is what you require. We thank you, Father, for purifying us, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we are alive. This is not a dead church. I thank you, Father, that you are living, and you are living here, and you are living in us, Lord. We praise your name. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe that God is speaking to someone today. Amen. A heavenly perspective today. And then in Power Hour this morning was affection on things above. God is speaking to someone's heart today. Today is your day. If you've been kind of dragging along in your walk with the Lord, it's time to come alive in 2025. Amen. If you're in the house of the Lord or if virtual or wherever and you don't know Jesus, ooh, hallelujah, the water is stirred and today is your day to make up your mind to walk with Jesus for the balance of your days. Amen. In the name of Jesus, and I believe that God is doing something special in this house. Amen. In this worship place, amen. We don't drag folks up here and lay you out on the ground. But if you want to be a part of this ministry that's going somewhere for Jesus, amen, all you got to do is just wave your hand on today, and we receive you in the name of Jesus. This be your new church home on this day in the name of Jesus. And we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. Is there anybody today that's in need of special prayer? I want you to lift up your hands before we exit this place on today. If you're in need of prayer in any area of your life, lift up your hand now. Pastor Shane, come on up, brother.